Please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. In this tape, we're going to be looking at the Christian walk or the Christian life, practical Christian living. How am I as a believer in Jesus Christ, as one who has been created in Christ Jesus, now supposed to live within this world? How am I to treat my brothers and sisters in Christ, and how am I to live within the greater context of the world itself? In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, we read, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Salvation is a gift of God. It is received by believing in Jesus Christ, and it is on the basis of grace. No one, absolutely no one, deserves that gift of salvation which God gives us. And yet, it is freely available to all who desire it simply by believing in Jesus Christ. Verse 10, "For we are God's workmanship." We are not the workmanship of each other. We are not the workmanship of our good works. Instead, we are God's workmanship because it is His gift of grace. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. When we believed in Jesus Christ, we were created in Christ Jesus. We were baptized by that one Spirit into Christ and became members in particular of the one body of Christ. And it is God's desire as members of that body of Christ for us to live a life of good works. This is His will for the Christian believer. You and I then, as believers in Jesus Christ, live a life of good works. Not in order to be saved, but because we are saved. The Christian life is a life of endeavoring to live as Jesus Christ, endeavoring to pattern our lives on the basis of the walk of love and truth of Jesus Christ. He is our great example. Look over in the book of Ephesians chapter 1. The Christian life then is a life of growth. It is a life of growing and maturing as Christian believers. God is our Father. We are His children. Jesus Christ is the head of the body of Christ. And together, as individual believers within that body of Christ, we endeavor to grow up in Christ. In other words, to grow up to be more Christ-like within our day-by-day living, each and every day in which we live. This is our goal. It is our ideal. That is, to live a Christ-like life. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, we read, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." Here the Apostle Paul is writing from prison, where he had been captivated and put in prison as a result of his witness for Christ. And he writes to the Ephesian believers that he urges or he begs them to live a life worthy of the calling which they have received. That is, that calling in Christ Jesus to be God's children, to be totally and spiritually justified, righteous, and redeemed before God. Verse 2. "Be completely humble and gentle." This is how they are to live. This is how they are to walk worthy of that calling. "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." As believers, we are to be humble. We are to be gentle with each other. We are to bear with one another in love. In other words, we are to overlook the faults and frailties of each other. We are to be forgiving of each other. We are to endeavor to walk in love as Christ walked. And verse 3 says that we are to make every effort, to give it our best effort, to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. As believers in Christ, we are spiritually unified, but we want to endeavor to keep that unity here upon earth in a practical sense, so that as believers we can help each other to grow up and to become more like Jesus Christ. Verse 4, there is one body, that one body of Christ, and one Spirit, that gift of Holy Spirit, just as you, each of us, were called to one hope when we were called. That hope is the hope of the future return of Jesus Christ and the eternal life which we will take hold of at that time. There is one Lord. That one Lord to the body of Christ is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our Lord, and we confess Him as Lord, and we receive the benefits of His Lordship. There is one faith, one baptism, that spiritual baptism in which each and every believer is baptized with the Spirit of God. One God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. This is the unity of the body of Christ, the oneness in Christ, the oneness which we have as the family of God. God is our Father, and we are His children. Go down to verse 14 now. Verses 7 through 13 speak about the body of Christ and the different ministries within that body of Christ, and how we as believers are to help each other to grow up into Jesus Christ, to become more and more like Christ as we gain a knowledge of Him and an understanding of the Word of God and how to live it in a practical sense within our lives. Verse 14 then says, continuing with the context here, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. When we understand God's Word, when we understand our relationship with God and our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, then we will not be deceived by the Word, the world, because we will have a standard for truth, a standard upon which we can base our lives. Jesus Christ is our great example, and we endeavor to live as He lived, patterning our lives upon the principles of love and truth in which He Himself lived while He was here upon earth. Verse 15, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is, Christ. In verse 15, we see here that we are to speak the truth in love. Actually, the original text is even more complete than that. It means living the truth in love. It encompasses all aspects of our lives. Speaking, living, thinking, all aspects of our lives, doing that in love. Just as Jesus Christ lived the truth in love. Because all love, all true love, has to be based upon the truth. We don't set our standard of love based upon the world's standards of love. We don't watch television and say, well, that's what true love is. We don't look at how the world lives and treats each other and say, well, that's what true love is. Instead, we base our standard of truth upon the Word of God. And that's how we understand what true love is. We see the love of God in giving His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins so that we could be redeemed. We see how Christ lived in love here upon earth. And then God and His Son, Jesus Christ, become our examples of how to live in truth and in love. As we do that, then, we will grow up into Jesus Christ. We will become more and more like Christ. Verse 16, from Him, The whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As each of us as individual believers bases our life upon the truth of God's Word and then walks in love, we will together as the body of Christ grow up into Jesus Christ. We will become more and more like Him day by day. This then is the Christian life. It is a life of growing and maturing in Christ. None of us will ever attain this perfectly until the return of Christ, when we will gain a new body, a new spiritual body. Until that time, this is simply our goal. It is our ideal. It is what we strive for day by day, to live a Christ-like life. That is our standard for living practically within this life in which we live. Look now over into the book of John, the book of the Gospel of John. There are two basic ways then that we learn how to live this life of truth and the walk of love. We pattern ourselves after the life of Jesus Christ. And we can see how He lived by reading the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of which present to us the life of Jesus Christ, and each of them from a somewhat different perspective, emphasizing different aspects of His life and ministry. We then, as believers, can read about the life of Jesus Christ, and we can see how He lived the truth of God's Word in love. We can see how He taught and how He lived according to the standard of God's truth. Then His life and His teaching becomes an example, a pattern, which we can follow and imitate ourselves. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 15, we read what Jesus Christ had to say here to His disciples just before His death, just before His crucifixion and His death. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this. Here is the command which He's speaking of. Here is the command which He is telling His disciples to continue in. Love each other as I have loved you. This is the command of Jesus Christ to His disciples. It was what He taught them just before His death and then His resurrection. His whole life had been an example of this love. And then He says to them, "This is my command, that you love each other as I have loved you." We then, as the disciples of Christ, are to pattern our lives after the life of Jesus Christ. And as we read the Gospels, we can see how He lived. Now, that doesn't mean that we are to do specifically everything that He did, because Jesus Christ came specifically and primarily as a minister to Israel at that time, in the time in which He lived. And therefore, when He went to Jerusalem, that doesn't mean that you and I need to go to Jerusalem. When He died on the cross and was crucified for your sins and mine, that doesn't mean that you and I need to be crucified as well. Instead, we pattern our lives after the principles which He lived, and we apply them to the situations within our lives, within the age of grace, and within the culture and the historical, geographical, and so forth types of situations in which we live today. Jesus Christ is our great example, And yet he himself had a specific ministry to perform, just as we today, as individual members of the body of Christ, after the death, resurrection, ascension of Jesus Christ, have specific responsibilities within our lives as well. So, we read the Gospels, we see how he lived, how he lived according to the truth of God's Word, and how he walked in love day by day within his life. That then is the first example, or the first means by which we can pattern our lives after the life of Jesus Christ, to read about his life within the Gospels. Secondarily, we then read the epistles which were written either to the churches or to individual Christian believers. And these give us the specific application of how to live a Christ-like life within this age or administration or dispensation of grace in which we live today. Let's look over now into the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 13. As I said before, when we read these epistles, we can read them almost as if they are specifically addressed to us. Because to be a Christian today is the same as to be a Christian in the first century. It's always the same. We are in Christ Jesus as individual believers. We are the children of God. God is our Father and we are His children. And therefore, our position in Christ is the same as it was for the first century believers. The differences simply regard the historical or cultural or geographical situations in which we live today. But the basic principles are still the same for us. In the book of Romans, chapter 13, we have the first of what we could call some metaphors or descriptions of the Christian life for the believers, for the Christian believers within this age of grace. And three of those are what we would call metaphors or figurative expressions which describe the Christian life. And in essence, each of these means the same thing, and that is simply to live a Christ-like life. But they are put in different words simply to emphasize the different aspects of this life. The first of this is the all-encompassing concept of living in love as Christ walked in love. We are to walk in love. That is our standard for our day-by-day living. To walk in love as Christ walked in love. In Romans chapter 13 then, beginning in verse 8, we read what the Apostle Paul has to say here to these Roman believers. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. This is the one debt which you and I have towards each other. That is to love each other. That is the new commandment which Jesus Christ gave to his disciples. It is to walk in love. Verse 8, the latter part of it again, says, for he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The basic premise, moral characteristics of the Old Testament law could be summarized in two basic concepts as Jesus Christ taught his disciples. And that is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love our neighbor as ourselves. Here, speaking of the practical walk amongst the believers and within the world, here we have the summation of it in the sense that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. This is how we live within this world. It is a walk of love. Verse 9. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. In other words, if I walk in love, I won't steal. I won't commit adultery. I won't kill. I won't covet that which is my neighbor's. All of the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament are summed up in that one statement, to love God or to love our neighbor as ourselves. Therefore, this is the law. This is the standard for the Christian believer. It is called the law of Christ within the New Testament. And that is simply to live as Christ life, as Christ lived, or simply to walk in love. Look over in the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians chapter 5. Another epistle to one of the Christian churches here. Galatians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free, because we have been freed from the bondage of the Old Testament law. We have been freed from the bondage of sin as a result of having been made righteous and justified in Christ Jesus. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, or to indulge the flesh, those cravings, those lusts of the flesh. Rather, serve one another in love. Again, the same basic concept said a little differently. To serve one another in love. This is the goal of our lives. To walk as Christ walked. To serve one another in love. Verse 14. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Here then is the first of those ways of describing the walk in Christ. The Christ-like life. It is to walk in love. To pattern ourselves after the example of Jesus Christ. A second way in which this is described within the epistles is to walk or to live by the Spirit. In verse 16, we have an example of that. So I say, live, or the original text is, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. When we walk by the Spirit, we are walking by that new nature which we have within us, that new nature of the Spirit of God. And that Spirit of God is the same Spirit which was in Jesus Christ. To walk by the Spirit is to walk by the same pattern or example by which Jesus Christ lived and walked while He was upon the earth. It is a spiritual way of living. Verse 16 again, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature, or the flesh, desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not. That is, you are no longer under the law. Why? Because we are walking in love. And when we walk in love, that is the fulfillment of the law. The walk in Christ implies that there is going to be a battle within this life. Because we still have our bodies, our fleshly bodies. We still have to wage a battle, so to speak, with the desires or the lust of that flesh. We live within the world, we're faced with the temptations which this world offers, and therefore it's a day-by-day, moment-by-moment decision to live as Christ lived rather than by living according to the standards of this world. We then are to walk by the Spirit, by that new nature, to live a spiritual life, which is, in essence, to walk in love or to walk as Christ walked. It's not necessarily always easy, but the Bible commands us to do it, and we are certainly able to do it simply by making that decision within our lives day by day, moment by moment, to endeavor to live as Christ lived. But it's a growth, it's a process. None of us will do it perfectly, but yet it is still our ideal, and we help each other within this body of Christ. When we fall short, we help each other get up. When we sin, we help each other to come back to living the way we should live, a Christ-like life. Look over in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, near the end of your Bible. Because here we have the third metaphor or third figurative expression which encompasses this Christ-like way of life. And it's called within the epistles or within the New Testament to walk in the light as He is light. It is to walk in the light in contrast to walking in darkness, that is the ways of the world. In 1 John chapter 1, we read beginning in verse 3, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard," speaking of the Word of Life, which it talks about in verses 1 and 2. The Word of Life, which was with the Father and then was manifest in Jesus Christ as He lived upon the earth. "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." This is the aspect of our lives which is called fellowship. As a believer, our standing with God is as a son of God. We have been spiritually redeemed and made righteous in God's sight. That is our standing. It is our position in Christ. Our state, however, has to do with our day-to-day living. And it's a situation of walking in fellowship with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the process of growing, becoming more like Christ, and becoming more and more intimate in our day-by-day fellowship with God. In this fellowship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ, we grow. At times we fall short. We disobey God at times. And then that is what is called within the Bible sin. In order to restore our fellowship with God in an intimate way, it's the same way as with our earthly fathers. Our earthly fathers, if they're good fathers, always love us. And yet at times we fall short of what they desire for us. And when we do, we come to them and we say to them, "Father, I have sinned," or "I have made a mistake," or "I've been unworthy," or "I've done something wrong." And when we do that, we say, "I'm sorry. I want to live the way that I should." And when we do that, our earthly fathers should forgive us. And our relationship, once again, in our day-to-day living with our Father is tight, it's close, it's intimate. This is, in essence, the same thing as the Christian life. Our spiritual relationship with God is always one of being righteous before Him, because our sins have been forgiven in Jesus Christ. God is our Father, and we are His children. That is our spiritual relationship. In addition, God's love for us never varies. It never changes. Yet, we in this relationship are the variable factor, because as human beings, we fall short of living that Christ-like life at times. Therefore, when we do, we come to God and we say, "Father, I'm sorry. I have sinned. I've fallen short. I want to endeavor to live the way that I should." And that within the Bible is called walking in the light as He is light. That fellowship, that intimate relationship with God is restored by confessing our sins to God. Not to a person, not to a church official or to anyone else, but simply coming to God as our Heavenly Father and saying to Him, "I'm sorry, God, and I want to continue to grow and to live the way that I should as your son or daughter." Verse 5 says, "This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus His Son purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves." Who's kidding who? We all fall short. We all sin at times. "And the truth is not in us if we say that. If, however, we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is the walk in Christ. It is the walk of fellowship with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We walk in the light. We walk in love. We walk by the Spirit. And as we do so, we are walking a Christ-like life in fellowship with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we can grow and mature as God's children.